You are invited to coffee and donuts with candidates for public office in Kansas, Saturday, October 8, 10 a.m. to 12:30, Shawnee Mission Park, Shelter 1, 7900 Renner Road, Shawnee, Kansas. Sponsored by the Johnson County NAACP and League of Women Voters, plus the Mainstream Coalition, Moore Squared, and the Voter Rights Network of Wyandotte County. In case of rain or for more information, check the websites of sponsoring organizations. This message is a public service of KKFI.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us here on Radioactive Magazine. My guest tonight is David Graham. He is a candidate for the United States Senate from the state of Kansas for the Libertarian Party. David has been a practicing attorney in the state of Kansas since 1989, and we're going to talk about several criminal justice issues, but also a few other issues besides. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Craig.
Let me start with some of the criminal justice issues first. I think generally the Libertarian Party is somewhat in sync with the Republican Party in the sense that they oppose regulation for the most part. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement. The Libertarian Party, the thrust of it is to maximize freedom for the individual. So as a general rule, the more government you have, the less freedom you have. So it is true that we, generally speaking, favor less regulation.
Okay. Let me start with gun regulation, because that's so topical these days. And with the debates that have gone on in Congress and around the country, with a lot of people wanting significant gun regulation, and a lot of people on the opposite side saying no regulation. There doesn't seem to be a lot of compromise or meeting in the middle. What is the Libertarian position on that, and what is your position?
Well, it's a great question. It's a complex question, and it's a tough question, so I thank you for it. I can tell you the Libertarian Party and most of its members, at least most of the members that I've met, strongly oppose any gun restrictions whatsoever. We firmly believe in the U.S. Constitution, including the Second Amendment, which says that the right to bear arms, keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Now, I know there is debate on whether or not the Second Amendment contains a limitation for militia or not, but the position of the party nationally, as well as most libertarians I've spoken to, strongly oppose any restrictions on gun ownership or rights. I will state that I think some libertarians do acknowledge that there perhaps should be some limitations on access to guns and other weapons based on age. But again, as a general rule, we would oppose laws or regulations on gun ownership. Now, having said that, libertarians, because we also do believe in freedom, if a shop owner does not want to allow guns to be brought into his shop, if he's the proprietor or controls it, and there's not a government tie-in with that store or business, that owner should be allowed to do that.
Places like Australia and New Zealand, particularly New Zealand, take the position they have gun regulations, and they claim that their crime rate has never been lower.
I'm not familiar with that experiment.
Okay. In terms of gun restrictions, you mentioned as far as age, what about other restrictions like, you know, background checks or mental health issues, if there's red flags, and that. And also in terms of, from as far as business owners being able to say not in their shop. What about schools? Would you allow public schools to say no guns in the school?
I don't know about government schools, so-called public schools. I need to make just a real quick distinction. I'm speaking only for myself now. The National Party takes the position I gave you. The National Party doesn't have a detailed answer for all these specific questions, but so I am just speaking for myself. But I am trying to speak for what I think is sort of the majority libertarian position of its members. So I think for government schools they'd say no, but if a private school, whether it were parochial or just a private secular school, wanted to prohibit guns, it would have that right to do so.
What about safety of students in public schools? Is their safety less important than the students attending private school?
Well, absolutely not, but government's not the solution. I know I certainly, and I think most libertarians, oppose so-called red flag laws. The problem is, it sounds good for someone, for example, who may be having some mental health challenges, like depression. The problem is, I won't say I would never support a red flag law. I'll tell you, I have never seen one written that I could support. Because the problem is, if someone's having depression, do we want that person to go get treatment for depression? Or do we want him not to seek treatment because he's afraid they're going to come get his guns?
Let's move on to mass incarceration.
This is a big issue for the Libertarian Party nationally, as well as my Senate campaign. And I'll just real quickly tell people, if they're interested in my Senate campaign, they can go to Graham4Senate.com. That's Graham, the number four Senate, all one word, .com. Graham is like Graham Cracker, G-R-A-H-A-M. And they can see that one of my top three topics is criminal justice reform. Now, in terms of the mass incarceration, first of all, we have scores of people locked up for drug offenses. Many people are locked up simply for possession. And then we have what I would call low-level dealers or petty offenses connected. They might be something more than possession, but they're petty. Or very minimal additional conduct. And so these, by and large, are nonviolent people who committed nonviolent offenses. So the Libertarian Party was one of the earliest parties to call on drug legalization and to end the drug war. We're not winning the drug war anyway. So let's end the drug war. And let's go ahead and legalize marijuana. Many libertarians would legalize all drugs. In terms of a federal response to this mass incarceration, I think we need to scrap the federal guidelines for sentencing. Of course, Craig, as you know, we in Kansas deal with a guideline system on the state level. But the federal guidelines, it's similar in terms of outlook, but it's a very different chart, and it's not nearly as rational. You can get points for uncharged conduct. You can get points for showing remorse after you're found guilty, even though you may be saying you're not guilty and wanting an appeal. I also oppose mandatory minimums. I think in the federal courts, mandatory minimums is one of the big reasons we have mass incarceration. I'm all for law and order, and you do the crime, you do the crime, you do the time. But we have judges there to be more than just bean counters and bureaucrats reading a chart. We need them to use their discretion. And in some cases, probation makes more sense, or a lower sentence than is called on by the guidelines makes more sense. One more thing. Let me just throw one more thing in there. And that is, I think we need a whole lot fewer crimes, not just drug crimes, but other crimes. And the example I like to give people is there's a federal crime if you transport a stolen vehicle over state lines. Now, a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, we don't want people stealing cars. But think about it. If somebody steals a car in Kansas and drives it to Missouri, they've committed a crime in Kansas. They're committing a crime in Missouri. They probably will end up being sentenced for that crime in both states. Do we really need to add a federal crime on top of it? I would say no. I can also tell you there's other federal crimes that to me are ridiculous.
Okay, go ahead.
Like the law on structuring. Now, structuring is a crime they came up with because people were money laundering. And again, we don't want to have money launderers. We don't want to encourage money laundering. But money laundering can be and should be a crime. Structuring, which is where they say, we think you might be doing this because you've deposited too much cash, or you've withdrawn too much cash, or you took out cash in money orders. We can't prove your money laundering, but we think you're doing something that looks like it, so that's a crime. These are process crimes. They shouldn't be crimes, and I think we can address mass incarceration by fewer crimes and fewer long mandatory sentences.
One of the drugs that has gradually become legal in some states is marijuana. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here. What about other people? What rights do we have to breathe clean air? If you legalize marijuana, there's going to be more people smoking marijuana. And it's going to be the same problem that we have with cigarettes, with people who light up where they're not supposed to, or people who smoke in the presence of their children and their children get sick, etc. Isn't marijuana going to have the same problem as the cigarettes, and any regulation is almost either nil or unenforceable?
Well, I hope not as many people end up smoking marijuana as smoke cigarettes. But I'm a person who is very, very sensitive to cigarette smoke. I mean, I can smell it a mile away.
That's what I am. And I get sinus infections if somebody lights up next to me.
Sure. And it's not a good smell at all to me. So I think though the marijuana would be similar. In other words, you could have a restaurant that says, we don't allow smoking in this restaurant, period. Mm-hmm. We don't care what the substance is. Will there be people that break that rule? Yes. Will there be restaurants like I was in recently where they allowed a person to smoke at the bar? That'll happen. In terms of homes, that's tougher if there's kids in the home. But I think here again, you have secondhand smoke. I think most, or at least a lot of people, smoke outside. They don't smoke in front of their children. We know secondhand smoke hurts and kills people. But I don't know how we can actively police that other than through education.
When I was young, my mom and my two aunts all smoked, and I had asthma, so I'm convinced today that the asthma is a result of the secondhand smoke. Let's go to the death penalty. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, I can tell you that the Libertarian Party nationally has taken a stand, and it is in our party platform that the Libertarian Party opposes the death penalty.
Okay. And you personally oppose it?
I have a mixed view on that, Craig. Honestly, I believe that society has the right to impose the ultimate punishment for the ultimate crime. And I do believe it's constitutional. The problem I have with it, I have a couple problems with it. One, I think it's more of a death penalty than capital punishment. It's kind of a lottery system on who gets selected for even being eligible for the death penalty and then who gets it. So I don't like the arbitrariness of it. Secondly, I don't like the cost involved in it. And one thing I will say is that in researching this issue and learning more about it as a libertarian, the cost for a government to even seek the death penalty, whether or not it's ultimately imposed, is outrageous compared to what the cost would be to prosecute it just going in and looking at life in prison. So from a purely, and I know it's a moral question as well, but from a purely economic point of view, I think we have to ask ourselves as a society, for most crimes that are eligible for the death penalty, is it worth the additional cost to put someone to death versus putting them in prison without the possibility of parole? And so that's the question. So I'm not all for the death penalty, but I'm not totally against it. The Libertarian Party is.
Okay. And another big issue that you didn't mention relating to that are the innocent people who are wrongly convicted, and some of whom have been executed. In fact, a few years ago, the governor of Arkansas, when they thought they were about to run out of the lethal injection, not be able, because it was going to expire, you can't return life to somebody you've just murdered.
Absolutely, we would have to have clear protocols, and I think we should also re-examine what crimes are eligible for the death penalty.
And in Oklahoma, they've got 25 executions scheduled in the next 29 months. So it's like a factory.
Well, and I know that Trump, and toward the end of his presidency, mostly because of Bob Barr, executed several people as time was running out on that administration, including Lisa Montgomery. And I thought it was just outrageous that she was executed.
Let's look a little bit at the Supreme Court decision. Well, the original one and the new one this past May relating to abortion. And part of the what was thrown out when they reversed Roe v. Wade's decision was the rationale behind the original, which related to privacy issues. Well, the same issues, at least some of the same issues, were relied upon in granting marriage equality in 2015. So there's some that are concerned that that is at risk now too, at least until there's a change in the Supreme Court. What is your position and the Libertarian Party position on that?
Well, the I can tell you, first with respect to abortion, the Libertarian Party nationally is neutral. We do not take a stand as a national party. In terms of membership, I think our national party is like the rest of the country. We have some people on both extremes, and then most of the people are somewhere in between. I make no bones about myself. I consider myself 100% pro-life, and so I make no bones about it. Now, in terms of marriage equality, there's a couple things. One is the Libertarian Party has been for gay rights and non-discrimination long before the Republicans and Democrats came along and decided to get on that boat. And it's because we believe in the individual. Most libertarians also will tell you, as I would say for myself, I don't think the government should be in the business of licensing marriage, whether it's for straights, gays, three people, Mormons who are polygamous, you know, or anyone else. I think marriage, to the extent that people want it, is a matter for their church, or, and by say church, I mean their house of worship. So rather than say, well, we should license same-sex marriages because we license opposite-sex marriages, I would say let's just get the government out of that business altogether, and then you have equality.
If the government is not involved in marriage, then I assume the natural consequence of that is that they would also not be involved in granting divorces. And if that's the case, when people separate, how would the government, if parties are fighting about how to split up property or who gets custody of children, well, how would the government resolve that if they don't have marriage and divorce?
Sure. Well, the government could theoretically still allow people to get divorced under their aegis, just like in Kansas where we have common law marriage, although that's been modified recently. We still have common law marriage, but we don't have common law divorce. So if you are common law married, you still have to go through a state divorce. So the government could stay involved in the divorce business if it wanted to. I would just as soon it get out. And then marriage would become not just a moral and or spiritual issue, but it becomes a contractual issue.
Moving from the criminal justice issues and the human rights issues, which I would describe marriage equality and abortion is coming under that part of it. Well, I move to foreign policy, since the Senate is involved in a lot of that. What is your position and or the libertarian position on foreign policy and intervention in foreign affairs and related issues?
The National Libertarian Party favors an adequate and strong national defense. We oppose anything beyond that. Now, it doesn't mean we can't have a spy in another country or maybe even troops in another country, but this idea that the United States has to be involved in every country on the face of the earth is wrong. That we have to be involved in every conflict on the face of the earth is wrong.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here. And I generally agree with that, but some qualification, because as a pacifist, and I've been involved in the War Resisters League and American Friends Service Committee, which are all pacifists and in the same position that you're talking about. But some potential exceptions is if we didn't get involved in World War II as a result of Pearl Harbor, some argue that all of us would be speaking German today, or a lot of us would be, because Hitler would have potentially prevailed, and the Germans and the Nazis would never have been held accountable for what they did, the atrocities at the concentration camps. And if we don't help people, don't we run the risk of another Hitler taking over, including potentially somebody like Putin, who's trying to take over countries now? Right now he's in Ukraine, but he hinted at some other countries as well before.
You know, it's a great question. I will tell you this. One of my biggest thrills was at the National Libertarian Party Convention in Reno back in May of this year. I got to see Scott Horton of antiwar.com there and speak and it was just a pleasure to see him and hear him speak. I will say this. I think a World War II scenario, what you have to ask yourself is, there's no doubt that in that scenario, Hitler didn't want just to kill the Jews and other so-called undesirables. He not only wanted to take over Europe, he wanted to take over the world. And so the question really isn't, when that's the case, should the United States get involved? The question is, when should the United States get involved? Now, I know it's a hot topic in history that the United States waited a lot longer than it should have in World War II. Looking back, we should have been involved sooner. I think others argue we could have maybe stayed out longer. I don't know. I don't know my history that well in terms of to have an opinion on that sub-issue. But I think the United States can do a lot of things to help peoples that are victims and refugees of war without us being involved militarily. The United States can allow people within the United States to offer aid and comfort through things like GoFundMe.
You have any closing thoughts? About out of time.
Yes. Well, thank you again for having me on the radio show. I just urge people to, if they're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. Whether you're in Kansas or Missouri, take a look at all the candidates and make an informed decision. And in terms of the Libertarians, we have a Libertarian running for U.S. Senate in Missouri, Jonathan Dine. I'm running for U.S. Senate in Kansas. And what I would say is, we're not going to change anything until we change the people we send to Washington. So let's, you know, we're the home of the free and the land of the brave. We are free because we are brave. Be courageous and vote. Vote your conscience in November.
You've been listening to Radioactive Magazine, and my guest today has been David Graham, who is a Kansas attorney since 1989 and is the candidate for the United States Senate from the state of Kansas for the Libertarian Party. Thank you, David.